Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
I'm your host, Tahaka Amana Elbay, and this afternoon we have a special guest who will be with us here, film and stage actress Kiki LeBron. She starred in such television movies as Orange is the New Black, I Almost Got Away with It, The National Geographic, The Good Wife. Let's talk about Pep. White Collar, Law and Order, Seasons 20, Nurse Jackie, The Pursuit of Fortune, She's Got the Look, Gossip Girl, and Life on Mars. He's also performed in theater, African Repertory Theater, and the Virginia Monologues. Done quite a few commercials as well. True TV, Discovery Channel, Sprint, Doosan Industries, and the list goes on. She'll be with us here this afternoon, and in fact, I think I see my guests on the line. I'm going to open up right now.
How
Erica,
are you? How are you?
Hey, sister, how you doing?
Oh, I am great. I'm great. I'm in Florida, and I'm happy to be here and happy to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. Welcome to Florida, the Sunshine State. And I know you're going to get as much fun in as you can down here.
I plan to. Thank you so much.
Well, Kiki, what I want to know is what prompted you in the beginning? I mean, what led you to be involved with television and broadcasting and acting and so on and so forth? How did that come about?
Sure. It was actually something that I've always wanted to do and didn't know how, and my mother didn't know how to get me into acting. So we went the route of going to Barbizon and doing the modeling and learning to do commercials there. But they still never got me where I wanted to be or even where I am now. So it took a while, but it was something that's always been in me that I've wanted to do ever since I was a little girl. When I was a little girl, I remember telling my mother that I wanted to be a nurse, a doctor, a teacher, a model, and I knew that I wanted to do what I saw people that looked like me do on TV. And so I had to put in a lot of footwork later on my own, but that, believe it or not, that Barbizon school that my mother had put me in when I was 13 years old actually helped with a lot of the stuff that I know now, and I was actually able to use what I know in the field that I'm in now. So it was something that I've always wanted to do, and that's one of the reasons I tell people when they have children, listen to them. They, you know, listen to what they want to do. A lot of parents are always trying to steer their children into something else. Children know what they want to do.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Well, let me ask you something, because I know among the television appearances that you have had, I see National Geographic. You've got to tell me about that. What are you doing in Russia?
Sure. I am very happy to speak about that. I did a piece. I was chosen to do the reenactment for a woman named Althea. Althea was featured on the New York Times when the whole 9/11 thing happened. She was caught by a photographer for the New York Times, and she was placed on the cover of Time of the New York. New York Times. The photographer caught her in the air, both feet off of the ground, running. She had on a yellow scarf. She was covering her head, trying to protect herself from any debris that may have fallen from the tower after it was hit. And I was chosen to do her reenactment. It's an awesome piece. And the producer and director, her name is Allison Argo. Allison is awesome. She mostly does a lot of these films that you see on animals. Allison Argo has done. She's received numerous rewards and awards for what she has been able to accomplish. She has a heart of pure gold when it comes to animals. And she chose to do this. This was her first film really with people, and they released it on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. So it shows you, I'm retelling Althea's story, a black woman coming down the stairs of the tower after it had been hit, what she encountered, and seeing the firefighter come up the stairs while she's on her way down, her story about how tight the stairwell was, how wet it was from pipes being burst and water being in there, and how slippery it was, and what she encountered when she was coming down the stairs once she got out, and just her story, retelling her story. And that was an awesome experience.
Fantastic. Now that was a the woman in real life, Athea, she was a black woman. Is that correct?
Yes.
And doing this in the enactment, did you get a chance to speak? How did they do that?
I didn't get a chance to meet with her, which I had hoped that we would. And then around the 10th anniversary, we thought we would be able to meet. But the people of National Geographic were going to try to set something. I said I would love to meet her. I want her to know who's playing her part. And that has never transpired. But I don't give up hope, and I think it can still happen.
Okay. All right. Well, what's new? What are you all doing that's new now?
Oh, Tarhaka, my heart is happy. My soul is happy to tell you what is new. I recently completed a play. Bonnie Wright, who started the African Women's Repertory Theater over 25 years ago, she's done work with Ruby Dee. She still works with Charles Dutton and a host of other celebrities. I was chosen for the role of Betty in a play that she did called I'm Sorry. After my performance, which was just June 20th and June 21st, and we actually were only going to have one show, but because we were sold out for that Friday, June 20th show, they gave another show, decided to open it up for a 12 noon show on Saturday. That didn't sell out, but we had nearly a full theater. She was approached, that being Bonnie Wright, after the shows to talk about me and another actor, and she was so happy about the play. She was so happy about the play that she, and my performance, that she chose to write a play specifically for me. So she's almost finished with that. I will be performing that this fall. Besides that, I just did NBC. NBC is doing a diversity thing where they are trying to get more so-called minorities into the profession.
Uh-huh.
So they're trying to get more African Americans and Latinos into the profession. So what they're doing is opening up to more people. So I had an opportunity to, I got a call back with NBC. They loved my audition tape. They asked me to send in an audition tape, sent that in. I I was surprised to get the call back, got the call back, made them laugh inside the audition, was very happy about that. And I'm waiting to hear. I think I did it. I think I made all my people proud. Besides that, standing in for Adrienne Moore on Orange is the New Black, she plays Black Cindy, and a lot of people ask me what that means to stand in, and sometimes I refer to myself as product placement. What we do is we get paid to stand there while cameras, lights, boom, boom being the microphone, while all of that is set up, we get paid to stand there. And this is a very good gig for me because it frees me up to do other things that I need to do, and it gives my hair a break because other times they want to be, you know, blow dry my hair, flat ironing my hair. My hair has had a break for 3 seasons, and I'm very happy about that.
That's good news.
Excellent news.
How do it work? Now, you're in the business, and let's say that they're going to do this movie or something. How do they call you all, or do you something comes up and you guys apply for it? Or how does that go?
Well, I live in New York and in San Francisco. In San Francisco, well, in L.A., I have an agent. So if anything fits me and I'm out there, I don't have to call anybody. He calls me. In New York, I didn't get an agent. One reason being is I could do a lot of the stuff myself. People know me. They know what I've done, and they're able to say, listen, Kiki is good for this. So I don't have to do too much calling, but I do a lot of footwork on my own. In this business, you have to do you can't lean back and just expect things to come to you. So you have to look out and scout, ask people, go to events. I'm part of a LTC networking event that happens every month, and I'm there. We network. People have seen what I've done. My name gets put out. The Bonnie Wright, an excellent resource. She's with some high-powered people. She came to me and said, listen, you're so good. You're at the stage where you don't have to audition anymore. Just word of mouth is going to get you a lot of work. And I was appreciative of that, although humble, I must say. As a stand-in for Adrienne Moore, I never have to call. They call me, listen, we need you for tomorrow. It can be as early as that, or they can give me maybe a week and tell me that they'll need me for the following week. But for the most part, there's a lot of footwork that has to be done. One of the things that I tell people who come to me and ask me for advice is to stay around like-minded people. Stay around people that want to do what you're doing and that are doing where you want to be. They're at the point where you want to be. Keep yourself uplifted, because this business, trust me, I'm very sensitive, but for some reason I got armor on when it comes to, you tell me no, you're going to hear a whole bunch of no's before you get to even this point. I heard a whole bunch of no's. There's a lot of people that heard a whole bunch of no's, and they're up there right now looking to where other people are looking to be. So don't let no deter you. Never let no deter you, because I wouldn't be where I am today, you know. In New York and in San Francisco and L.A., there's a place called Central Casting. That's an excellent start. I tell a lot of people to start out there. I tell a lot of people to do background a lot of times, which a lot of people are calling extra work. It's not extra work. The things that are extra are the plants and the trees and the homes in the background. We are background performers. Without that, the scene doesn't look real. I started out as a background actor. You know, sometimes we got to crawl before we start running and walking. You know what I'm saying? And I'll tell a lot of people that. And a lot of people will tell you, oh, it's all about who you know. No, sweetie, it's all about who knows you and what you can do. And that's what I'll tell people. But Central Casting is an excellent resource. You'll learn about the jargon that goes on in the industry. I got it. When I was in the business, I didn't know what a stand-in was. I bet you I can tell you what one is now. And I make $200 to $500 a day. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely worth it. Right. So did I answer your question?
Oh, yeah. Yes, you most certainly did. Now, you're down here in Florida, and I spoke to you earlier.
Yes.
Tell the listening audience about the Kiki restaurant and what happened there.
Oh, my. That's not my restaurant, first of all. I wish it was. But I walked, my friends and I, my friends Demetra and Lucy, they took me and Michelle, we all went to this restaurant. They're like, oh, Kiki's. And I was like, I want to go just because of my name and because the menu sounds excellent. So we're outside. My friends are taking pictures of me. This guy comes out, and he looks at me and says, you must be Kiki. My friend Demetra looks over and says, how you know, because we're taking pictures. And he says, no, I just figured it. Anyway, I later said he was actually the manager of the store, and he's from the Bronx, which is where I originate from, you know, after my mother, then the Bronx. I went over to him in his office to say thank you because he had a great personality. And this was actually before we got our food because he spoke to us. He was really nice. He held the door open, and his name was Charlie. And I said, I love the waiters. They were awesome. It was Jessica and a few others that I can't recall their names right now. Well, he went and checked me out on the computer, unbeknownst to myself. Checks me out on the computer. So when I said, listen, I'd like to give your restaurant a write-up and let them know that I love the service here, I love the food, and I love everything about your staff. And he said, thank you so much. I said, are you the manager? He said, yes, I am. Gave me the card and told me what to look up. Then I said, well, I'll definitely write it. He said, did I have a card? I said, yes, I do. Gave him my card, and he looks at the card. He says, I said, I'm an actress. And he says, oh, okay. But I had given the card earlier. So he looked me up, told the waiters are looking like, you know, they're looking like, I guess they weren't too sure. I mean, anybody can say anything. So the manager looks at the waitresses and says, I looked her up. She's legit. She's real. He said, I checked her out already. So that was pretty cool. That was really, it's really nice here. And I love good people, you know, so that was really nice. Yes, I also wanted to mention that I have a supporting role in a movie called For the Love of God. The screening takes place today in New York City, but you will be able to pull that up online on August 16th, and I hope that people will reach out and check that out. This is done by Soraya of Soraya Soy Free Films. She is excellent, a woman. It was her first time directing, editing, awesome woman. And the other thing that I'm in next month, Artifice, the director of that is Donovan Howard, awesome director. I play a voodoo woman in that, and I'm really excited about that. I have a co-starring role, so that'll be in September. Artifice will be debuting in New York, but it will be at a lot of the film festivals, and I'm hoping that your audience will reach out and support. Spike Lee has seen the film. He gave it a thumbs up, and that says a lot in and of itself. And I have not seen it. The director hasn't allowed me to see any. I saw a little bit of it, and he's not allowed. He wants me to wait for the screening when everybody else sees it. But he says that I would be very happy with it because he said he is extremely pleased with my performance. So I'll be seeing it right along with everybody else.
Okay, fantastic. And you want to give us the name of those two movies again?
Yes, I'll say it a little bit slower. The first one that is screening today is called For the Love of God. For the Love of God.
For the Love of God, okay. Is that going to, like, premiere, like, during the daytime? Like, it's going to be, like, how is that going to go?
The screening, I think, is at daytime. Because it happened today, I didn't hold all of the information in my mind, but I did put it on my Facebook page, and your audience is welcome to befriend me on Facebook, because I post a lot of stuff on there, not just my own stuff, but I post gigs for other people. And some of the gigs are in Florida, but I didn't know a lot of people that were interested in Florida, so I didn't post a lot of them. But I post a lot of stuff for people who want to get in this business. Not so much that I've verified all of them, but at least having that info at hand. So you'll see a lot of stuff on my page, and it's Kiki LeBron on Facebook.
That's how to get you on Facebook. Just type in Kiki LeBron and send your friend requests, and they're in there.
Yeah, and you'll see all of the stuff, because I post all of these screenings and things. The other one is Artifice, Artifice, by Donovan Howard. And I will definitely post that stuff. I am very, very proud of that.
So now, when you post these, will we be able to go over there and click on it and actually look at it?
Not on Facebook, no. I know that the trailers are on Facebook. So I'll put, if I have a trailer, then I'll put the trailers up, yes. But the trailers, yes.
All right, okay.
As far as I know, not the movies.
And these are going to come out on regular television, or is it going to go to the theaters? How are they going to do that?
These are all films, and I know that Artifice is going into all of the film festivals, probably like Cannes and Sundance and those sort of festivals. If I can somehow get a copy for you, I would definitely send that out to you. And the For the Love of God, the Soraya Soy film, that you'll be able to see on starting August 16th online. So you'll be able to view that in its entirety.
Okay, well, I'm going to write that down. August the 16th online. I definitely want
yes.
to see you bounce around on that.
Sure, sure. I haven't even seen it, so I hope it is pleasing to you.
Okay. Well, now, let me ask you something. What was the toughest moment that you've ever had during your career? What was the toughest thing that you, in your opinion, that you know, what was it that almost made you quit, if it was anything?
Oh, wow. As soon as you said almost made me quit, there is something that came to mind immediately. And I know there was, like, probably one other thing. But one of the things that, see, I know that this is something that I want to do because I would do it without being paid, but I need money in order to thrive in this society. And
okay.
The first year... Oh my God. The first year I've never made $4,000 for a year in my entire life. I made $4,000 and I was ready to quit then. But I knew that I was trying to figure out how I could still do the business and do something else. So I was thinking about maybe getting a job and trying to just do this until I can make it. But $4,000 had me kind of thinking, I got to figure out my life, and I have to figure out what I'm going to do. It wasn't until a friend of mine named Daniel Angus Cox, who has since passed, he passed on January 2nd, he said to me, Kiki, you made more than I did in the first 2 years of his career. I said, that doesn't make sense because
wow.
nobody can survive on that. When he said that to me, and that's another reason, to get in with the group, find out what's going on, because if I was in my own mind, I may have just, you know, it may have been a dream deferred for me. My raisin, you know, my grape would have turned into a raisin because I didn't have somebody else to say what Daniel Angus Cox said to me. He said, listen, you made more than me when I got in it. You made more than me in your first year than I made in my first 2 years. And I said, wow. And that's what made me really continue. Besides the love and that something I wanted to do, I mean, when money plays a factor in your life, people have been known to do things that, you know, I probably wouldn't have even had the thought of giving up if I could make it, you know?
Uh-huh. Okay.
But that, I can honestly say that was a time when I thought about putting it not so much on the back burner, but kind of putting it to the when I can get to it, when I can do it, because I just felt that I had to make money and I had to, and that wasn't going to, that was, it was going to take me too long to make the amount of money that I wanted to make.
Okay. Well, I know you say you only had a short time to be with us, and I want to see if a caller's got a quick question or two to ask you. The number to dial into this call is 310-982-4184. If you have a question for our guest, Kiki LeBron, go ahead and raise your hand. I'll open up the line, and you can get in and let us know what's on your mind if you have any questions for the sister. But
bring the questions on.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me ask you something. Now, theater, do you like theater better than doing the things for the television? Or how you feel
sure,
about that?
Sure. I will say that I like immediate gratification. I'm willing to say that. A lot of people don't want to admit to that. I like immediate gratification. And you don't get immediate gratification from film. Film is also easier. It depends on what it is that that I'm looking for. Film, somebody may see me down the road or see something, and then I'm walking and I don't even know. And they're like, I know you. I've seen you somewhere before. I know your face. That it feels good as long as it's not like a whole bunch of people like gnawing on me, which that hasn't happened. But as long as it's not a whole bunch of people pulling on me or saying certain things to me, then I'm fine. With stage, there is so much beauty in stage. Stage, you have to be on point. Stage, there's no mistakes. There's a first time and that's it. You don't get a second chance. And so there's a challenge in and of that self. And it can be, you get a little nervous if you don't know all your lines, but you got to know how to improv and make it on point, be on point and make it right. But stage, when I did stage last month or in June, I was in awe. I loved it. There were points in that stage performance where I can literally connect to this character, become this character. I was Mrs. Betty. I was literally her. And I couldn't see the audience when I went into that mode, but I could hear them. When they sniffled and they cried because I said a certain line, I could hear that. And I connected with them. Oh, I'm thinking about it right now. And it was perfect. You don't get that from film. With film, you're doing things 20 times. You're doing one thing 20, 30 times. There's no connection because all you have, there's no connection with an audience because you got the cameraman, you have the director, you have all these people behind the scenes that the audience isn't privy to, people moving around, you know, and you don't have the same connection. I have to film. I have to not look at people and try to go into a zone, and then you hear cut while you're in your zone, and you got to come out of the zone and figure out what it is that the director wants, or he wants to change something, he wants to do something differently. So that kind of messes with you going into yourself and becoming one with the character that you need to be. In theater, there's none of that. There's no cut. There's no, we're going to take it again. There's no, we're going to take it 20 times on this one scene. There's none of that. You connect and you get it or you don't. And your audience is going to let you know. And I love that. There were so many people that came up to me after I performed I'm Sorry and hugged me, told me that I made them cry, told me that my performance was excellent. There were people who came to me and asked me, when am I performing again? What am I doing again? People that asked me for my business cards. There were writers in the audience that said that they wanted to write something for me. You don't get that in film. Film is, it's totally different. It's totally different. My love is, if I want to just go in and knock it out, make some money, and also connect to a character real quickly, or I already know what's going to transpire when I'm doing film. In theater, you don't know what's going to happen. You think you got your lines. You back in the green room. You're back in the dressing room, and you get out on stage, and you might forget something, but you got to be on point, and that's an actress. You know that? Being able to make it flow, does that make sense, Taraka?
Well, yeah, we call ourselves, I've been in a little business on the outskirts. I used to run a fashion business, and we also made a movie down here in Jacksonville.
Okay.
One of the most fascinating things that I didn't know, because I was the president of the company, and each scene where they would come out to perform, everything was perfect. And they come down the aisle, and they come out, and it's so perfect. And I said, boy, I said, y'all good. And they say, it's a lot of work. I said, what kind of work are you referring to? And they say, well, you never been in a dressing room when we were changing for the next scene. I said, okay.
Right.
One day
right.
I peeped in there, and it was a madhouse. Stuff was flying. Dresses were going up in the air. And I said, oh, my goodness, I don't think I want to be a part of this spot.
Yes.
Sister, I got somebody with their hand raised. I'm going to open up the line so they can get in and ask their question. Area code 321, tell us who you are and what's your question for our guest. 321.
Who are you?
Hello?
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 Hi,
can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you loud and clear.
Hi, okay, I'm Nancy. Yes.
Okay. You got a question for our guest?
I do. Actually, I saw Kiki in the Vagina Monologue. I thought she was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You were great. You were great. You must tell me, what did you do to prepare for that role?
Okay. Thank you so much. What did you say your name is?
Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Thank you so much. That role, that was a little different. The Vagina Monologues, I had to audition for it, but the way they work, that's a huge organization. That's a they raise money for women who have been affected by all forms of violence, and they try to rid the world of violence against women. So I auditioned for a specific role, and they liked me for something else. So they don't let you so much choose. They chose for me because they felt that I was going to be good for a specific role. And they gave me the role of the coochie. Yes. They gave me the role of the coochie snorcher. And if you know anything about I know you do because you were there.
Yes.
These are real stories that women have told about various types of violence that has been done against them. And to prepare for the role, the rehearsals helped a lot, but not only that, when you're a woman, even if something has not been done to you, you immediately can relate or sympathize. Sympathize if not empathize. You can definitely sympathize with another woman or a human being when something happens.
Exactly.
And my connection, believe it or not, didn't come in the rehearsals. My connection came when I was actually performing it in front of the live audience. So which show were
you
at,
really
the Friday or the
Saturday?
Thank
really
you.
Connected with the audience. I really appreciate it. Your role, and I just wanted
Thank
to let
you.
You know that, and that you happen to, I happen to catch you, and this is just awesome. It's really awesome, and I get a chance to tell you that you did a wonderful job. Thank you.
Oh, you're going to make me cry. Thank you. And where do you live? You live in New York?
I do, yes.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Well, keep in touch. You can hit me up on Facebook, K-E-K-E is
sure
the first name.
Will.
Okay.
I sure will. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you both.
All right. You're welcome, sister. Okay. Now, and I don't know how much longer you can stay, but as long as you're chatting, I'll keep talking.
Sure. I can give you 15 more minutes. You got any more callers?
15 more minutes. No more callers. If you want to dial into the broadcast, just raise your hand at 310-982-4184. That's 310-982-4184. If you have any questions for our guest, I'll open up the line so you can get in and let us know what your question is. What are your comments? So what I want to do is I'm going to recommend some of the other Blog Talk shows hosts to you and have them give you a call. And if you have time to do their show, you all can hook that up and you can get on, because we got some really hot shows here on Blog Talk. My show really airs at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But
okay.
I know you told me that you had this time slot open. I want to make sure that we get you on so you can tell us what it's like being in that atmosphere and the acting and the stage and stuff. And so because that's a career that a lot more of us need to pursue, in my opinion.
I agree with you. One of the things that we need to do is to start creating more of our own works, because you may be seeing our faces on the screen, but we're not the ones making the biggest of big bucks. You know, all of that, a lot of that money is happening behind the scenes. So I challenge our people to start. We have our stories. We have our stories. Let's start putting them in film. I can help with distribution. I know people that I can get names. I can give some names for distribution. Let's start doing those things for people who they say they want to do this, but they're too far away or nothing's going on in their town. I say, one of the things that I like to quote is Franco the Great. Franco the Great is from he lives in New York. He's been in New York for a long time. He painted, if you've ever been to Harlem, you can look him up. Franco the Great painted all the gates in Harlem for free because he didn't like how dilapidated Harlem was looking during this time. And the reason we got gates in New York was because of a whole thing sort of like Watts, where they were burning things down and a rebellion type thing. Franco the Great always said, blossom where you are planted. He said it to me. I was standing right in front of him, and he said, blossom where you are planted. And I'm challenging whoever says that they can't do something where they are at, please try. Look at different things. If you're in high school, do your plays. People want to know if you even, believe it or not, people have asked me, when did you do your first play? These are my first two serious plays, The Vagina Monologues, and I'm Sorry, but I did plays in high school. They want to know that you have some sort of experience. Create your own works. Learn about the field that you want to be in. One of the things my dad taught me, and I learned a lot from my father. My father said, I love women. I know them inside and out. I know everything about a woman. You want to get into this business? Know everything about it. And that goes for any business, anything that you want to do. Know everything about it. Learn the jargon. Get into plays. Do theater. Even if it's a small production that's not paying, do that, because those are credits toward you. People don't ask how much you made for something. People ask what you did. They want to know what you did, and they want to know how relevant you are. What can you do? What can you bring to me? If you don't have any experience at all, then you may be a time consumer. It's going to take too much time for them to teach you all this stuff. So have all of this stuff when you get ready to come in. There are so many books and so many resources and so much online that people can read and get to learn all of this stuff that I didn't have when I first entered the business. So I say I really, really wholeheartedly mean that. There was something else. Can you repeat your question? Because there's something else that I wanted to touch on.
Okay. The question is, actually the most important question that I want to ask is for you to tell us, because, see, we know that you are in a big industry, and you run into a lot of people that are stars and superstars. I see right there on your Facebook page you're taking a picture with Eric Roberts, and he's starred in a lot of this. What is it like working with these people? Is it hard, or do you feel like you have to live up some type of expectation, or are you just relaxing? How is that?
I say, be yourself, be who you are, because the minute you start changing to appeal to somebody else, you start changing you. Be yourself. People are either going to like you or they're not. And I'm a very nice person. I wish that somebody else would tell you that, because anybody can say that about themselves. But I'm a very nice person, and I'm warm, I'm loving, and treat them like everybody else. There are some people that they're cocky and they got their nose up in the air. You don't need to be around those people. That's not who I'm around. Eric Roberts saw me. We were out. He came and come on, let's take a picture, and gave me a hug. They're just like you and me, and I don't believe in putting nobody on a pedestal. There's no human being that goes on the pedestal. Only my Most High God goes on a pedestal. Nobody else. You know, everybody's out here doing their thing. We all got our goal. We got our path. And my mother used to say, nobody's better than you, and you are better than no one. And I believe that, and that's how I treat people. No, but I don't get starstruck. I don't get, even with him, he was like, he came up to me and he said, he thought I was talking about, he was playing, but he said, if you're going to talk about me in front of my face. I said, if I was talking about you, I would talk about you in front of your face, but I wasn't, you know? And he just, you know, he said, I'm joking. So, he said, I'm just messing with you, which I know he was, but they're regular people. You know, I meet a lot of people, even in this industry, they call the actor by their character name, sort of like not separating the two, and I don't do that. If I don't do that when we're at work, I don't do that when we're outside of work. I don't call you by your character name. You are Eric Roberts, Black Cindy. I don't call her Black Cindy. She is Adrian Moore. I call her Adrian. She calls me Kiki. It's address them, because then it's like you don't, I don't know, it's sort of like you're in this fantasy world, and they're not who they really are. They're that character that you see them as. So, no, they all get called by their regular names. So they're people. They're regular people. You put people on a pedestal, and that gives them something over you in a sense. There's nobody over me or below me.
Do some of these top actors and actresses, do they make recommendations for movies for people? Has that ever occurred, you know of? Because I always wondered about that.
I'm sure they do, especially if they've worked with you and they know your stuff. I'm sure they would, because you're a reflection on them. If you know your stuff, they'll speak on your behalf, especially if somebody is doing a film and they say, do you know somebody that would be good at this? Or if they just think that you'll be good at something, because that's happened to me. People are like, Kiki would be good at that character. Somebody is writing a something right now. Her name is Lori Zeal. She's writing something. She works a lot with the military, like soldiers who have come home and they suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder and other things. And she wrote a piece. I think she's done. I don't want to speak for her. I think she's done. But when she had it in her head and was just beginning to write it, she said Kiki would be great for this. And she approached me last year, and I said, let me know. Let me know. I said, I'll do it for you. Let me know. Let me see the script. And she says, you got to do it, because it's you are the character. You fit that character. And the character's name is Kiki. She named the character after me. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't remember the name of.
So they mail you all a script. They send you a script to look over, and do you get a chance to accept it and reject it?
Yes. Tahaka, we are in the age now of computers, and everything is emailed, so I have to spend my money on the paper a lot of times to print out the script if I don't get to the writers and get them myself. So a lot of times everything's on the computer. So I'll get like a huge script, and I'll try to minimize it to just where I am mostly. And I say mostly because I was taught to, and this may help somebody who's thinking about this. Bonnie Wright taught me to memorize the whole script. And reason being is if anyone makes a mistake, you know the whole script, so you won't, and they won't mess you up. Now, I don't memorize the whole script, but I do memorize other people's lines, especially before me and after me, so that I know what I'm doing and I don't get messed up. So that's definitely a tip that somebody might want to take. I'll do the pages before me, know what's going on, so that way I know when I'm on, what I have to do. I'll know all their lines. Sometimes I'm saying the lines while they're saying their lines, and then I already know what my cue is. But, yeah.
Okay. Well, now, once again, you're in a big industry. Is it something else that you may have your sights on after you gotten fulfilled at the top of the line in the acting and stuff of this nature, like maybe producing or directing? You ever thought of any of that?
I'm now thinking, it's so funny because I wasn't thinking about producing at all. And a friend of mine, Shabazz Ray, he has a film coming out. I helped him. You'll see my name in some things that you won't see my face on because I've helped in the behind the camera. And he kept asking me, where do you want to go from here? Do you want to produce? Do you want to direct? And I was like, no. Well, now with I am going to produce a comedy skit. So
okay.
Let's see how that goes. Yeah, I'm working with a group of actors. That is so new, Tahaka, that I don't even want to talk about it too much yet because we literally just talked about this last week. I think it was last week or the week before. So I said, okay, well, when I get back, we'll put my head together. I already got some stuff that I wanted to use. So, yeah, that's so funny that you should ask that. Because, I wasn't thinking about it before, but to answer your question, I'm thinking about it now. I'd like to put some things together and get those out there. Might as well do what I'm telling other people to do.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Well, sister, I don't know. My audience appears to be mesmerized, and they don't have any questions. It doesn't appear. They won't raise their hand. But I'm going to we're going to do a full show here today, and I'm going to do the police state and us getting prepared for survival and what we actually need to have. I'm going to do that.
Okay.
Finish this broadcast out.
Okay.
But if you would give us any kind of contact information that we can go to. Again, and for those people who would like to pursue that type of career, visit your page on Facebook or wherever else you are, and if you give back
okay.
to us.
Sure. On Facebook, it's K-E-K-E is the first name. My last name sounds just like LeBron James, except it's a L-I, capital B as in boy, R-O-N. There's what else? There's my reel is also on Facebook. You can look that up, please. And on my reel is one of the emails that mostly for the business that they can reach me at, and they can ask me questions there. It's Kiki_LeBron@AOL, and definitely reach out to me. Let me know what you need. I don't have all of the answers. I don't even know if I have half of the answers. But one thing I do have is other people in the business that I can ask. And I'm willing to do that. And I post a lot on Facebook, so I'll definitely do that. That's not a problem. I don't mind. If I can help all the people that want to be helped, I could die a happy person. I love helping other people, so definitely. It's a great business to be in, but it has its bad sides, too. It has, like everything, not everything, but most things. You know, you have people who don't want to share information or share jobs because they think that sharing is going to decrease work for them, or the sort of like the crab in the barrel thing still affects us where you don't want people to get too far, but you got to just keep moving, keep going, and never, ever, ever give up. Because when you give up, then there definitely isn't a chance. You keep going. You don't know what's coming around the corner. Keep going. Keep thinking about that corner. Keep trying to peek around and see what's coming up. Keep walking. Keep moving. You know, you stay still, you die. Keep moving. Keep moving. Never, ever give up. If it's for you, can't nobody take it. You know, and manifest. Use yourself to bring to life what you want. You can have anything. Get the desires of your heart, but what are your desires? Be specific. What do you want? Where do you see yourself? See yourself there. Picture of a magazine or something. Put your face on there. This is where you want to be in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Where do you want to be? What do you want to do? You can have whatever you want, I was taught. You can have whatever you want as long as it doesn't belong to another person. You can have whatever you want. Manifest your destiny. Manifest your life. Manifest you. You are God's. Use your God-given power. We didn't come here with no power. Use your power. I manifest stuff all the time. Do it. And I will see you at the top. That's it, Tahaka. Hello?
Okay, Kiki, are you still with me? Kiki? Hello? Are you still with me? Kiki, are you still with me? Hello? Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break, and I'll be back in a moment. Hello? Kiki, are you with me? Hey, everybody, we are back. We just had a disaster over here. All the power went out, and I have to apologize to my special guest, Kiki LeBron, and because I lost power, I wasn't able to say goodbye properly. However, the show does go on, and we're going into the second phase of the broadcast. We're going to be dealing with survival against the police state, and so that we will know what we are up against and what we need to start doing as individuals inside the United States now in order to prepare for what's coming to this country. We want to make sure that we stay on top of this thing, and I have a few plugs for us to take a serious look at so that we will know what to do and how to survive this thing. Okay. Now, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to hold on a moment, and when we come back, we'll resume our broadcast. Okay.
During a natural disaster and economic collapse, you have to ask yourself a question. Am I prepared? Do I have everything that I need to survive and to protect my family? In order to gather this information and have it ready and available so that you can prepare now, go to www.newdebtelimination.com. That's newdebtelimination.com. Call me, Tahaka Amaniel Bay. For more details, area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is vital for us to prepare ourselves for whatever happened. There are many people across the country that weren't prepared when the time came. Don't let that happen to you. Go to www.newdebtelimination.com. Contact me, Tahaka Amaniel Bay, 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, now the first thing that we're going to look at, what reason under the sun do we need to start preparing for anything? I mean, they've already told us that the economy is recovering and there are more jobs now and all of these good things to look forward to has been in the news lately. Now, we do have the Ebola thing that's going on, and that's gaining momentum, and we've gotten away from the last disease, so we have to promote this new disease, and of course we're dealing with the usual, which is called scare, and then after we do that one, then we'll have to get a disease that'll top that one. Now, we want to watch out for all the new drugs that's going to become available now. And we're also going to have to watch out for all of the hospitals and doctors that will now officially start telling you that you have symptoms of the Ebola virus and we need to prescribe this medication for you. All this is business. But now let's take a look at for what reason under the sun do we need to start preparing for survival inside the United States? What? Why would you, do we need to prepare? I mean, after all, you have been telling us that the economy is looking up and we're recovering, and but you haven't said anything about the Federal Reserve printing worthless money in this stuff. We've been waiting on that. You're leading us to believe that the housing market is booming and bustling all of a sudden, and mortgage is good, better, and all this stuff. But what I'm looking at is another change. In fact, it got worse. And so let's pull the cover off of this thing, take a real good look at it, and then we're going to come back and look at some solutions to the problem, okay? All right.
Subject to other police action. The use of riot control. things, which could cause risk of injury.
Now it's conspiracy. See, they've made that something that should not be even entertained for a minute, that powerful people might get together and have a plan. Doesn't happen. You're a kook. You're a conspiracy bum.
Keep this frequency clear.
Highly resolve, these dead shall not have died in vain. That the nation shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom.
This nation under God
shall have a new birth of freedom.
That this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom.
That the nation shall have a new birth of freedom.
Would you like to see all the executive orders that have been put into place to take over our nation, to have complete control over us, to take away our rights, round us up, and put us where they want us? Here we go. Executive Order 10990 allows the government to take over all modes of transportation and control of all highways and seaports. Executive Order 10995 allows the government to seize and control the communication media. Executive Order 10997 allows the government to take over all electrical power, gas, petroleum, fuels, and minerals. Executive Order 10998 allows the government to seize all means of transportation, including personal cars, trucks, or vehicles of any kind, and total control over highways, seaports, and waterways. Executive Order 10999 allows the government to take over all food resources and farms. Executive Order 11000 allows the government to mobilize civilians into work brigades under government supervision. Executive Order 11001 allows the government to take over all health, education, and welfare functions. Executive Order 11002 designates the Postmaster General to operate a national registration of all persons. Executive Order 11003 allows the government to take over all airports and aircraft, including commercial aircraft. Executive Order 11004 allows the Housing and Finance Authority to relocate communities, build new housing with public funds, designate areas to be abandoned, and establish new locations for populations. Executive Order 11005 allows the government to take over railroads, inland waterways, and public storage facilities. Executive Order 11051 specifies the responsibility of the Office of Emergency Planning and gives authorization to put all executive orders into effect in times of increased international tensions and economic or financial crisis. Executive Order 11049 assigns emergency preparedness function to federal departments and agencies, consolidating 21 operative executive orders issued over a 15-year period. Executive Order 11921 allows the Federal Emergency Preparedness Agency to develop plans to establish control over the mechanisms of production and distribution of energy sources, wages, salaries, credit, and the flow of money in U.S. financial institutions in any undefined national emergency. It also provides that when a state of emergency is declared by the President, Congress cannot review the action for 6 months. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has broad powers in every aspect of the nation. General Frank Salzito, chief of FEMA's Civil Security Division, stated in a 1983 conference that he saw FEMA's role as a new frontier in the protection of individual and governmental leaders from assassination and of civil and military installations from sabotage and or attack, as well as prevention of dissident groups from gaining access to U.S. opinion or a global audience in times of crisis. FEMA's powers were consolidated by President Carter to incorporate the National Security Act 1947 that allows for strategic relocation of industries, services, government, and other essential economic activities, and to rationalize the requirements for manpower, resources, and production facilities. The 1950 Defense Production Act gives the President sweeping powers over all aspects of the economy. The Act of August 29, 1916 authorizes the security of the Army in time of war to take possession of any transportation system from transporting troops, material, or any other purpose related to the emergency. The International Emergency Economic Powers Act enables the President to seize the property of a foreign country or national. These powers were transferred to FEMA in a sweeping consolidation in 1979.
The Trans-Texas Corridor is a vital part because we stop it here in Texas. We stop the New World Order right here in Texas.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to carry out a New World Order.
Appeared before the Congressional Committee to tell what I knew of activities which might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it. And he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States.
The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret.
Known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
I'm Jim Tucker. I've chased Bilderberg for 30 years. I'll never give up the chase. Bilderberg's plan for the whole world is nothing less than world government.
I'm not comfortable with that at all. Who elected these guys to run the planet?
They are the elitists. They feel they should run the world for their own selfish interests.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government, and only an educated, informed public can stop them in their tracks.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
Everything is set into place.
Every human being on planet Earth is ultimately responsible to policies that are being formulated at the international level.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
President Bush said that the New World Order was in tune, and that's what they were working for. The UN is part of that government. They're working right now very significantly for a North American Union. That's why there's a lot of people in Washington that don't care too much about our borders. They have a philosophic belief that national sovereignty is not important. It's also the reason I have made very strong suggestion that we need not be in the United Nations for our national security.
Affirmative task we have now is to create a new world order.
The FEMA camps, now all they have left to do is take the guns.
An American soldier fighting for faith after an army briefing slaps a hate group label on a well-established traditional Christian ministry.
That's right. The presentation linked the American Family Association to hate groups such as the Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis, Black Panthers, and the Nation of Islam.
The soldier was so enraged, the fearful punishment for his own Christian values, he reached out to our own Todd Starnes.
Yeah, this happened out at Camp Shelby in Mississippi, and the soldier was a part of 50 active duty and reservist troops that had to attend this mandatory session. And in this session, they certainly did label the American Family Association, which is a well-respected Christian ministry, as an example of a hate group. And the soldier snapped a photograph that he sent me showing the slideshow presentation, and also another briefing, and I believe this was in the Air Force, labeled Evangelical Christianity and Catholicism as examples of religious extremism. So there's something going on here. The Pentagon, we tried to talk to them. They told us we needed to talk to the Army. And at that point, the Army, it's been almost 24 hours and we still haven't heard back from them.
Mm-hmm. A U.S. soldier in our Army spoke out. He said this: I had to show Americans what our soldiers are now being taught. I couldn't just let this one pass. I was completely taken back by this blatant attack, not only on the AFA, but Christians in our beliefs. Your thoughts on that?
Elizabeth, for the past 5 years under the Obama administration, we have seen a significant increase in anti-Christian rhetoric and activity in the military.
Good evening, everybody. President Obama and British Prime Minister Gordon today calling for a new world order to tackle our global economic crisis.
It's been a long time coming, but tonight, because of what we did on this day, in this election, at this defining moment, change has come to America.
All right, folks, there's a lot going on right now. Decisions being made that are unprecedented and will have an overreaching impact on what it means to live in the United States of America. Both the Senate and the House of Representatives have just overwhelmingly passed the National Defense Authorization Act. Squeezed into this military funding bill are two provisions that give the military not just lots and lots of money, but lots and lots of power as well.
A new generation of surveillance drones could soon be watching us all. The Federal Aviation Administration is expected to announce plans to expand the use of domestic drones in American airspace.
Well, get ready to look up at the sky and see drones hovering above. As of now, unmanned aircraft could only be used by military airspace and by certain law enforcement agencies. But this week, Congress passed a bill that would allow for commercial and private use of the drones.
I have two words for you. Predator drones. You will never see it coming. You think I'm joking?
Shopping and dining over Thanksgiving and maybe watching some football games, big government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. Senators John McCain and Carl Levin want to enact a law that would declare the entire United States of America a battlefield for the military. They're talking about inserting the Army into domestic law enforcement. Senator Lindsey Graham, who supports this bill, says, quote, "The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not."
The Department of Homeland Security buying ammunition, now looking to purchase another 21 million rounds of ammunition. This in addition, of course, to the $1.6 billion rounds that Homeland Security has bought in just the past 10 months. Now, to put all of this in perspective, the military used approximately 70 million rounds each year of the Iraq War. 70 million rounds in a war.
If you look at what the Department of Homeland Security has been purchasing over the last year, it comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition, more than 7,000 fully automatic assault weapons, 2,700 MRAP-type vehicles, and now drones. Those are instruments of war. Department of Homeland Security's, who are they going to fight a war against?
Something happened.
Robert Whitaker, the tactical supervisor for El Paso SRT, for Homeland Security Investigation. Well, we have our big vehicle out here. It's an armored vehicle. It's an AMRAP vehicle. It's mine resistant, ambush protected is what it stands for. That's what we use to deliver our team to high-risk warrant services.
Important breaking news out of Boston. A pair of bombings rocked the finish line at the historic Boston Marathon.
It was never meant that we would have this gigantic police force from the federal government. I mean, we had martial law up there, FBI and all these agents coming in, closing things down, going to people's houses. Do we close down cities because there's 10 murders over the weekend in Chicago? We don't do that. But here we close down a whole city, not even allowed to go to a baseball game. I mean, I think it's very, very scary when I look at some of those pictures.
The military likes to perform war games, so that's why we're seeing military on the streets practicing. They are actually practicing. The tanks that we see on the streets and the National Guard patrolling neighborhoods and the practices that they're doing with our local police department, this is all in preparation for martial law, so that when they do actually lock down the country, they've got everything secured.
But I think what we're starting to see, for anybody who is objective at all, is we're seeing a totalitarian system now unveil itself. And ever since essentially 9/11 happened, it's been more and more of these draconian measures that are leading us right down the road to martial law.
Particularly to hear President Obama claim the power to keep people in prison indefinitely with no charges against them, no conviction, no sentence, just imprisonment. It's particularly stunning to hear him make that claim in the middle of a speech that was all about the rule of law.
This last week, the U.S. Congress passed a bill which repeals Hossein Comitatus, which means that we have now institutionalized and codified martial law. Right now, the battle against terrorism involves all of us. Everybody in this country is a potential terrorist.
We don't even understand freedom anymore. We are a country that is headed towards socialism, totalitarianism, beyond your wildest imagination. I have to tell you, I'm doing a story tonight that I wanted to debunk these FEMA camps. I'm tired of hearing. You know about them?
Sure.
I'm tired of hearing them. I wanted to debunk them. Well, we've now for several days done research on them. I can't debunk them.
I don't know anything about them.
It is our government. If you trust our government, it's fine. If you have any kind of fear that we might be headed towards a totalitarian state, look out, buckle up. There's something going on in our country that is ain't good.
And they find a little red dot or a little blue dot on their mailbox, and they wonder what the little red dot, blue dot is. Well, it's marking your mailbox by the government, so when foreign troops come in here on us after martial law, but if you have a blue dot, they take you to the FEMA camps being built by Halliburton right now to house 50 million Americans. They're building enough concentration camps in America by Halliburton. So I'm going to tell all of you, if you have not bought ammunition, if you have not bought guns, go get them now. Go get them now, because you won't be able to get them much longer.
Change has come to America.
Practice Christianity and you could be court-martialed.
That could be the new law of the land for our armed forces, thanks to a proposal by a religious tolerance group that claims Christian evangelists are predators.
Is a war on religious liberty within the military, and that the Christianity of service members is now coming under attack by the Obama administration.
The Northside Independent School District in San Antonio has put tracking chips
and the ID badges for more than 4,000 high school students.
Well, it looks and sounds like something out of the future, but a new palm scanning device will help Bossier Parish schools keep better track of what children are eating at. The electronic device will be implemented at all Bossier Parish schools.
Now we're seeing a complete totalitarian takeover of the United States of America. Now we've been talking about this for years now. This is the police state. This is the police state. This is what a total breakdown of our society looks like. But we're seeing all of this intensify. This is all intensifying around the Second Amendment. Should we be able to own guns or not? Let's take guns away from the people. These are very big, very hardcore issues.
American, every person on the United States soil or international soil can be deemed as a terrorist. They have really any reason to want to detain you. They don't need to acknowledge your Fourth Amendment rights.
It's what supported things like the Patriot Act and now the NDAA and the ever-encroaching police state.
By order of the City of Pittsburgh Chief Police, I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly. I order all those assembled to immediately disperse.
On top of the breaking revelations of these new images of Northrop Grumman's much-feared spy copters, lest we not forget that in the past 2 years, FEMA has ordered over 180,000 of these prisoner containment boxcars, reported to be equipped with shackles and locks suited for human cargo. We would also like to note that the recent construction led by Google of the much-talked-about mysterious floating barges that have been sighted all over the globe. Google has stated that these are, quote, learning centers and showrooms. However, sources have reported that not only will some of these barges be used as large floating data centers, scouring trillions of terabytes of information each year, but many of them will be used by FEMA to hold prisoners offshore in the event of a nuclear terrorist attack in which martial law will be implemented, as will these new-age Alcatraz-like floating prisons. With 2013 coming to an end, and the government power apparatus growing by the day, it would seem that there would be much in store for us in 2014. Having recently reported on the confirmed reports that three of the military's top brass in charge of America's nuclear arsenal have been fired after thwarting a government-led false flag to detonate three nuclear weapons on the shores of our country, and the growing reports of the NSA's continued spying through its much-discussed prison program, one could definitely surmise that the next 5 years will be crucial in America's fight for true freedom against the oppressors that have been slowly taking away our rights without consequence.
Okay, Moses, we're back. Now, my question is, how come we haven't been hearing any of this in the news? I mean, we heard about the mortgage crisis appearing to be gone. We are hearing about the economy appearing to be moving toward normal. It seems to me that they're using the same tactics over and over and over again. They rob the general public, beat the general public down, and then they come back and say, okay, things are getting better. And we actually go out actually believing there's something different going on. But in my opinion, I'm trying to fathom in my brain, how in the world are you going to have a mortgage crisis, a mortgage debacle, millions and millions and millions of dollars in default, one of the biggest crimes and scandals in history, and all of a sudden things have gotten better? Nobody went to jail. None of the perpetrators went to jail. Nobody went to jail. It passed down to some people down there that didn't do anything, that actually that were not guilty of anything, that might have went to jail. But no matter what, this thing has gotten better. Things are better. The economy is better. We got more jobs. My question is for who? You can make a broad statement that we have just had over 10,000 new jobs this week, and then this quarter, another 50,000 jobs in this week and this quarter. But the people that I'm looking at that look like me are in the same position. So the only thing that I'm noticing is lip service. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but it ain't matching what I'm seeing. So I think that it behooves us as individuals to take individual inventory and pay attention to what we should be doing individually. Make no mistake about it. We have a very, very serious problem inside the United States. The United States has come to the realization that they cannot continue to print fiat currency that has absolutely no gold behind it. Every economy that has ever done that has collapsed. And once that happens, then those people who are not prepared are in a very, very serious state of affairs. So if we know that to be a historical fact, and we claim to love our families, to me, common sense dictate that I prepare and do something about it, because I know that it's not a joke. This is real. And let's take a look at some of the things that we should do, and it's very, very short. Because this thing is real. Let's look at some of the little common things and the outline of what we should be doing when? Now. Right now. We should be doing this now. Not tomorrow.
Hey guys, how's it going? As you know, we live in uncertain times and any disaster can happen at any time. Martial law could be enacted. There's all kinds of different scenarios that you should be prepared for. I've made a previous video about a 72-hour bug-out survival kit. It was a four-part series, and that covers if you need to leave your home. This video will be about the supplies you need if you're staying at home in a disaster situation. What you're looking at are supplies that will keep you and your family safe, alive, and healthy. Water is probably the most important thing. You'll need to keep yourself alive. In a disaster situation, there might not be fresh, clean drinking water available, so you will need to disinfect the water that you're drinking. You can do this by using common household bleach, chlorine bleach. You can put about 3 drops per quart of water, and if you let it sit for a while, the chlorine will evaporate, and it'll taste a little bit better. Also, I recommend that you get storage containers. This is a 5-gallon container. It costs about $6. Also, you can save your water bottles, soda bottles, everything, and just store as much water as possible. Next is food. Without food, you'll die. In a disaster survival situation, food may become scarce, and people will probably be starving. So you need to stock up on as much food as you possibly can. The price of rice and other foods have increased dramatically over the last year, and it's still going to keep going up. So you should get as much as you can now while it's at a lower price, because it will be more expensive in the future. And this goes for other food items too. This 10-pound bag of rice cost me about $6. These beans cost me about 94 cents. And these are excellent foods for keeping yourself alive, because they have a lot of what you need to stay alive. Also, with the rice, you don't need a heat source. you can soak it in water for 4 or 5 hours, and it'll be ready to eat. Dried foods are really good because they last a long, long time, years. Right here I have oven-toasted old-fashioned oats, and this is packed with good things, too. 3 grams of fat, 140 milligrams of potassium, 27 carbohydrate, 5 grams of protein, 4 grams of dietary fiber. An excellent food to stock up on. These ramen noodle things are really, really cheap. You can get a lot of them for a very low price. And this also has things you need, like salt. Salt and sugar are very important. Another great non-perishable item is canned goods. Tuna fish is a really good one, relatively cheap. Anything canned is good. Ravioli, beans, you can get vegetables, fruit. Anything non-perishable is good, and it'll last a really long time. You don't have to buy your food all at once. You can pick up a little bit each time you go to the store. I know not everybody has a lot of money, including myself. So get it little by little, whatever you can spare at the time. And eventually you'll have a lot of food. It'll build up after a while. The next thing you should be stocking up on is weapons and ammunition. The reason for that is because you're going to need to defend your family and your food, and possibly hunt for food. If someone's starving, they're going to do whatever they can to get food, including try to steal your food. And if they steal your food, that puts you and your family in jeopardy, so you will need to be able to defend that. And by all means, use less lethal options if you can, such as a baton or mace. If you have plenty of food and you feel that you can give some out to someone, then by all means, do so. Also, baby formula would be a good thing to have on hand, because if you can help out a starving baby, that would be a really good thing. Next, you'll need first aid supplies, iodine. You can use this to purify water and treat wounds. Aspirin, antibiotic ointment, and bandages, field dressings. All kinds of first aid stuff. Stock up on it. Also, save any painkillers you may get. If you have surgery or something, use what you need to get better and save the rest. You possibly could help yourself or your family or somebody else who are in pain. If there's an economic collapse or a total breakdown of society, you're going to need things to kill germs and diseases. Antibacterial wipes, disinfectant wipes, bleach. Also, personal hygiene will be very important. Stock up on soap, shampoo, whatever, toothpaste. All kinds of hygiene supplies are important. Also, if you have animals, I would suggest you get food for them. I have 2 dogs myself. I love them. They protect my house. And they're there for moral support also. So you do not want to see your dogs die in a stressful situation. Also, gasoline and different fuels, like this lamp oil. You can make stoves out of these. You can use it to light fires, keep warm. It's just a very good thing to have around and have stored away. Gasoline and fuels. Flashlights are definitely a good thing to have. You're going to need batteries. Also, they make hand crank lights, which actually work really well. There's no batteries. Also, there's hand crank radios, which would also be a good thing to have. A radio is definitely something very important, so you can keep up on your information, on the news. Also, candles. This is a survival candle. It has a 60-hour burn time. Having a lot of candles is definitely a good thing. I would recommend stocking up on clothing, especially warm clothing, hats, gloves, scarves, thermals, coats, shirts, pants, everything. You're always going to need clothes. Heavy-duty garbage bags can be used as a shelter, a poncho, a lot of different things. Also, plastic Ziploc bags have many uses. You can store water in them. You can use them as gloves if you're handling a corpse, removing a dead body from your property. You should be buying paper plates, plastic cups, plastic silverware. Water will be at a premium in these kind of scenarios, and you do not want to waste it on washing dishes. Strike anywhere matches, lighters, fire steels, anything you need to light a fire. Also, I would stock up on wood outside your house. In the wintertime, it's going to get cold. Chances are you may not have power and heat. You will need a lot of wood. Pre-chop it and have it ready to go for when you need it. You're going to need tools, axes, shovels, wrenches, hammers, everything. All kinds of tools. Also, it's not a bad idea to invest in some camping supplies, sleeping bags, pillows, sleeping mats, tents, stoves. All of that stuff would be useful in a disaster situation. Like I said in the beginning, we live in uncertain times. A disaster could strike at any time. Martial law could be enacted, the NWO, terrorism, domestic and foreign. We never know what's going to happen, and it'll happen when you least expect it, so you need to be prepared. If you're just beginning to stock up on supplies, definitely start with the water supplies, the food supplies, ammunition, and weapons first. Those will probably be the most important items you'll need. I also wanted to say check out Martin from You Choose a Side. He's got a video called Don't Come to My House. And it talks about food storage and preparation and defending your food. Also, I would recommend you check out his other videos. He's very smart and he really knows what's going on. So check out You Choose a Side on YouTube. And thanks a lot, guys. That's it for now. And I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, we're back. Now, that's just some of the stuff that we need to consider. Doing a crisis situation, I've studied this stuff for years and years, and from different countries when there was war in these countries, when there were typhoons, earthquakes, tornadoes, and economic collapses. Anytime these things happen to unprepared people, they get an immediate education right there on the spot. They have to learn how to survive. But now, inside the United States, is an opportunity for us to prepare. So when this thing starts bearing down, regardless of what type of catastrophe it is, you will have something to work with. Otherwise, you're going to have to take to the street a mode of survival. You will discover that you will see people who have been accustomed to driving big, fine Cadillacs, executive jobs, working as corporate executives and all this stuff, out there in the street scrounging and being prepared to hurt anybody and stop them from getting something to eat. Because it'll eventually boil down to that. So if you would just remember one thing, that the greatest focal point in your life is when preparedness and opportunity meet. So if we know that the United States has fiat currency, there's no gold backing it up, eventually we're going to be faced with growing our own food. Eventually we're going to be faced with economic collapses. Eventually, we could run the risk of being affected by a hurricane or a tornado or a earthquake, and on and on and on. there are many, many things that can go wrong. We can have epidemics. We can have the return of old diseases and stuff that we thought were going away. Like right now, as long as I've been preaching this gospel this year, the people up north in Detroit, Michigan, ain't got no water. Okay, all right. Now, if I have told you about these things occurring months and months and months ago, there should be a lot of people in Detroit, Michigan, with water that look like me. Because you listen to the broadcast, all you have to do is realize that I don't have no reason to lie to you. There was a time in Germany when the economy collapsed in Germany. The money became no good. The people standing out in bread lines, I mean the bread lines went all the way around the corner for blocks and blocks and blocks just to get a piece of bread. Not a whole loaf, just anything. If you got a couple of slices, I'll take that. But there was a man that came up with the currency. He had an entire basket full of currency, German currency. And he set the basket down on the ground and turned to hold a conversation with someone. When he turned back around, someone had taken the basket, dumped the worthless money out the basket, and stole the basket. That's how critical this thing can get. And you also have to remember, when there's no food for man, there's no food for animal. So what the animal's going to do? The animal's going to start coming inland looking for food. Ain't got no food out there where he at. The economy is bad. There's no water. A natural disaster. Animal come inside. So you have and we're thinking about it, and I'm not talking about lions, tigers, and bears. I'm talking about regular domestic animals, cats and dogs and stuff. And so all of these things are stuff that we need to prepare for. So we're going to take another look at the time. Wake up, America. Prepare.
Good evening, everybody. President Obama and British Prime Minister Gordon today calling for a new world order to tackle our global economic crisis.
It's been a long time coming, but tonight, because of what we did on this day, in this election, at this defining moment, change has come to America.
All right, folks, there's a lot going on right now. Decisions being made that are unprecedented and will have an overreaching impact on what it means to live in the United States of America. Both the Senate and the House of Representatives have just overwhelmingly passed the National Defense Authorization Act. Squeezed into this military funding bill are two provisions that give the military not just lots and lots of money, but lots and lots of power as well.
A new generation of surveillance drones could soon be watching us all. The Federal Aviation Administration is expected to announce plans to expand the use of domestic drones in American airspace.
Well, get ready to look up at the sky and see drones hovering above. As of now, unmanned aircraft could only be used by military airspace and by certain law enforcement agencies. But this week, Congress passed a bill that would allow for commercial and private use of the drones.
I have two words for you. Predator drones. You will never see it coming. You think I'm joking?
We're shopping and dining over Thanksgiving and maybe watching some football games. Big government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. Senators John McCain and Carl Levin want to enact a law that would declare the entire United States of America a battlefield for the military. They're talking about inserting the Army into domestic law enforcement. Senator Lindsey Graham, who supports this bill, says, quote, "The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not."
the Department of Homeland Security buying ammunition, now looking to purchase another 21 million rounds of ammunition. This in addition, of course, to the 1.6 billion rounds that Homeland Security has bought in just the past 10 months. Now, to put all of this in perspective, the military used approximately 70 million rounds each year of the Iraq War. 70 million rounds in a war.
If you look at what the Department of Homeland Security has been purchasing over the last year, it comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition, more than 7,000 fully automatic assault weapons, 2,700 MRAP-type vehicles, and now drones. Those are instruments of war. Department of Homeland Security's, who are they going to fight a war against?
Well, we have our big vehicle out here, is armor vehicle. It's an AMRAP vehicle. It's mine resistant, ambush protected is what it stands for. That's what we use to deliver our team to high-risk warrant services.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
Important breaking news out of Boston, a pair of bombings rocked the finish line of the historic Boston Marathon.
It was never meant that we would have this gigantic police force from the federal government. I mean, we had martial law up there, FBI and all these agents coming in, closing things down, going to people's houses. Do we close down cities because there's 10 murders over the weekend in Chicago? We don't do that. But here we close down a whole city, not even allowed to go to a baseball game. I mean, I think it's very, very scary when I look at some of those pictures.
The military likes to perform war games, so that's why we're seeing military on the streets practicing. They are actually practicing. The tanks that we see on the streets and the National Guard patrolling neighborhoods and the practices that they're doing with our local police department, this is all in preparation for martial law, so that when they do actually lock down the country, they've got everything secured.
But I think what we're starting to see, for anybody who is objective at all, is we're seeing a totalitarian system now unveil itself. And ever since essentially 9/11 happened, it's been more and more of these draconian measures that are leading us right down the road to martial law.
Particularly to hear President Obama claim the power to keep people in prison indefinitely with no charges against them, no conviction, no sentence, just imprisonment. It's particularly stunning to hear him make that claim in the middle of a speech that was all about the rule of law.
This last week, the U.S. Congress passed a bill which repeals apostate comitatus, which means that we have now institutionalized and codified martial law. Right now, the battle against terrorism involves all of us. Everybody in this country is a potential terrorist.
If you're an American citizen and you betray your country, you're going to be held in military custody and you're going to be questioned about what you know. You're not going to be given a lawyer if our national security interests dictate that you not be given a lawyer and go into the criminal justice system, because we're not fighting a crime, we're fighting a war.
The company has now implanted two workers with microchips to monitor their movements, causing some to charge invasion of privacy. The company says it's merely a layer of security beyond key cards and clearance codes. If I don't get one of those soon. Well, joining me now is Lance Uhlenhoff, editor-in-chief of PC Magazine. Lance, this sounds like some freaky science fiction book. Tell us what this is about. These two workers have microchips?
Right. Well, this is very, very real, and these microchips are about the size of a grain of rice. They get injected into your skin.
Futuristic film, humans injected with a tiny chip holding the key to all of their private information.
But as you're about to see in our CBS 46 investigation, it's not fiction. In fact, it's being marketed in Georgia as life-saving technology. Life-saving technology.
We have a Florida family who are really pioneers in a brave new world. They have volunteered to be the first ever to have microchip identification devices implanted into their bodies.
It is the first implantable microchip for humans that has multiple security, financial, and healthcare applications.
One thing I would just suggest, I'm just an outside, soon-to-be investor. I love this idea, by the way, Scott. I think this...
The Northside Independent School District in San Antonio has put tracking chips in the ID badges for more than 4,000 high school students.
Well, it looks and sounds like something out of the future, but a new palm scanning device will help Bossier Parish schools keep better track of what children are eating there. the electronic device will be implemented at all Bossier Parish schools.
Now we're seeing a complete totalitarian takeover of the United States of America. Now we've been talking about this for years now. This is the police state. This is the police state. This is what a total breakdown of our society looks like. But we're seeing all of this intensify. This is all intensifying around the Second Amendment. Should we be able to own guns or not? Let's take guns away from the people. These are very big, very hardcore issues.
No matter what your purpose is, you must leave. If you do not disperse, you may be arrested and or subject to other police action. The use of riot control agents and or less lethal munitions, which could cause risk of injury to those who...
Police now moving in.
American, every person on the United States soil or international soil can be deemed as a terrorist. If they have really any reason to want to detain you, they don't need to acknowledge your Fourth Amendment rights.
It's what supported things like the Patriot Act and now the NDAA and the ever-encroaching police state.
By order of the City of Pittsburgh Chief Police, I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly. I order all those assembled to immediately disperse. You must leave the immediate vicinity.
Military training exercises are becoming an increasingly common sight in many U.S. cities. The Department of Homeland Security has spent the past year acquiring more than 1 billion rounds of high-performance ammunition. Do these developments suggest concerns over a potential terrorist attack? Are they preparations for widespread social upheaval? Is there perhaps something even more sinister underway? There's an insider at the Department of Homeland Security who described urban warfare training as, quote, desensitizing exercises all across the U.S., adding that, quote, we're being prepared for mass civil unrest in major U.S. cities. DOD will be expected to help when we're requested.
Columbia Police, search warrant! Columbia Police, search warrant! Columbia Police, search warrant!
Search warrant! Search warrant!
Don't move! Don't move!
Okay, we're back. Now, I want to look at
something else. I want to look at the very foundation of what is the basic rudiments of what's going on inside of the world today, and why has the United States of America prepared for war against its own citizens? There are hundreds of thousands of Russian troops and troops from other races and countries inside the United States training. They're living in underground bases. They're living in different facilities and stuff that's off limits to the general public. And these people are there for a specific time and specific event to occur. Once you are deprived of the right to defend yourself, that is the end of your freedom. If you have no way to secure the first law of nature, which is self-preservation, then you're doomed. You are a slave. And the reason why I chose to do this particular broadcast, the second half of the show, the first half was with the actress, and television and screen actress and stage actress, Kiki LeBron, but the second part of this broadcast is dedicated to what we should be doing now to survive a police state, to survive economic collapse, and whatever comes down the pike. We do not have any more time to shuck and jive and waste time. We don't have any more time to go to the nightclub. We ain't got time. We have to start preparing and start taking our position seriously and being prepared to do what we have to do by any means necessary, because this thing is going to get rough and it's going to get serious. I want to look at the foundation. So when I come back, we're going to take a little quick commercial and commercial break. And when I come back, then we're going to look at the rudiments of what is taking place. So we will clearly understand.
Well, just what is it that new debt elimination do? What are they all about? Well, to get all the information on new debt elimination, go to www.newdebtelimination.net. That's newdebtelimination.net. Learn all about what we do right there. All the information in regard to us and what we do involving our natural food production, growing organic food and herbs and spices, and teaching of contract law, and many other things to describe for you in detail at www.newdebtelimination.net. Removing the burdens of debt gives us a freedom unmatched. Peace of mind is something that's very vital to our health. Not only do we want to concentrate on growing our own food and contributing to nutrition, but we also want to free our mind from the burden of stress. Stress is a killer. Go to www.newdebtelimination.com. Look at the items we have there. Before making any selections, you can give me a call. If you have problems with your student loan, if you got a situation with the Internal Revenue Service, mortgage, or whatever it is, go to newdebtelimination.com. Contact me, Tahaka Amanio Bay, 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remove the burden of debt.
Under the bankruptcy, I wanted to talk about James Traficant's speech tonight from the United States Congressional Record, March 17th, 1993, volume 33, page H-13, 03. All right, begins by introducing who's speaking. Speaker Representative James Traficant Jr., Ohio, addressing the House. Quote, Mr. Speaker, we are here now in Chapter 11. Members of Congress are official trustees presiding over the greatest reorganization of any bankrupt entity in the world, the U.S. government. We are setting forth, hopefully, a blueprint for our future. There are some who say it is a coroner's report that will lead to our demise. It is an established fact that the United States federal government has been dissolved by the Emergency Banking Act, March 9, 1933, 48, Statute 1, Public Law 89719, declared by President Roosevelt being bankrupt and insolvent. Here they are foreclosing on your houses. Here they are foreclosing on your family by charging your estates. Here they are wrapping a millstone around your baby's necks as they're born or birthed, docked under the nature of rent. Cashing in on everything. Now, if I went in and filed for bankruptcy at any point in time, can I also include a statement in there that I want to be the trustee over that bankruptcy?
No, you can't be the trustee over your own bankruptcy for those out there that are going down this path of statutory trust law. And let me stop right there and just clarify that a statutory trust is under the law merchant, and you're going to be bringing in attorneys.
Right.
Anyways, that's what it is, basically the bankruptcy of the U.S. Inc. in 1933. They set it up under this trust, and who'd they make as the trustee?
Themselves.
They essentially did it through smoke and mirrors because the Federal Reserve.
Well, they pretend to be all sorts of stuff. And when they came in, I mean, on the House floor, in his first statement, he maintains, Mr. Speaker, we are here now in Chapter 11. Members of Congress are official trustees presiding. I don't know how many people have heard that or listened to that speech or read it, but Congress is maintaining they're the official trustees over their own bankruptcy. Again, this isn't the first time I brought this up so that everybody could have a relative view of what's going on. Now, in 1794, they started posting the United States to the Action of Mail so that everybody could post their own bonds, claiming these names, the concepts. And the opt-out would be don't claim the concept. Okay? To discharge congressional bankruptcy, you're called a bad boy or a bad girl in some way. You get a letter from the IRS. You get invited into court process by Child Protection, Adult Protective Services. You're invited to apply for Social Security or welfare benefits through the Office of Population Affairs, which is the depopulation program. And all of these things you're consenting to, of course, but you're being used to discharge congressional bankruptcy based on the concept of you being a good dad. Those are two concepts, good and dad, or good mom. Those are two concepts that you're purchasing from the law merchant, and you're trying to prove that you're a good dad or a good mom. Already, you're a parent, you're an animal just like any other biology, and you're not going to harm your children unless you're a psychopath. And that's something that, you know, we talk about all the time. A psychopath is the only thing that can view a human being as an object. Now, going back to this bankruptcy, the word attorney is a concept. The word agent is a concept. Now, the word officer is also a concept. And in 1929, just before they declared bankruptcy, of course, they had already established a means of institutionalizing human beings just in case they went bankrupt. Of course, that's insider trading again. And they put all officers into holding corporations as well as all the citizens under the 1929 Geneva Convention. That's under Article 21. They said, I'll hold on to your benefits. I'll give you a stipend, and we'll maintain your status and everything on presentation, but you are still a prisoner of war if you should lose your government, if you should be lost and need saving and held as a prisoner of war. Now, in 1864, they came in and maintained places to hold prisoners of war called hospitals. And one of their collection services is, of course, the Red Cross. That's what the 1864 Geneva Convention maintained. The Red Cross could go out and pick up prisoners of war by invitation, and all they have to do is stand there and call 911 or call during an emergency and patronize the Red Cross in order to put themselves in that holding corporation. Now, in 1974, this all flipped around with the Inspector General's Act, where everybody went into the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation as well. So now, not only are you a prisoner of war, you're also insured against liability that you might be creating. So they're like not only double-dipping and triple-dipping. I mean, the dip is like a thousand-fold from what most people would see or could see, because they're all concepts. They're all created in the mind. Now, again, the royalties on these concepts cannot be going to a bankrupt organization or bankrupt entity. But nobody stood up. Until now, nobody's been standing up. Nobody realizes that they're living in a cartoon. And for example, I've been listening a lot lately to, others that are following Katie and Curtis Kallenbach, and they're telling me, well, I went into court with this piece of paper that says I'm a real life being. Okay, how did you get invited to court? You got a summon, and so you overcame the presumption of your death by answering that summon, went into court, and read out of a piece of paper that you're a living being, but you already answered a summon that said you're dead. How is it possible that you are not seeing these things? You know, how is it possible, Bo? Because I just don't get it. You know, they've already answered the summon. That's why they're in court. How are they believing that standing there as a dead person, they've already answered the summon saying they're dead. They've already been conjured by law. How is it possible that they're in court trying to get the court to hear them when they're dead? They've already evidenced themselves as dead and overcome the presumption of 38 U.S.C. subsection 108, the seven-year absence presumption of death.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not possible, because even if you look like you're getting positive results, it's all a show. The judge is the director of the show, okay? He is looking at banknotes in front of him, which are basically hypothecated people as sureties to offset congressional bankruptcy. Okay, you show up, doesn't matter how good your game looks or what the outcome is, he is taking your person on paper and putting it right in to Federal Reserve as a special deposit to offset this congressional bankruptcy which Congress is overseeing itself on.
Right.
As trustee.
And that's if I, you know, that's in referring to me. Now, referring to the male, the vi, if you go into court, you are already presumed alive. The female is the one that's presumed dead. If you go back to the 1666 Cesar Cage Vi Act, you're the life that's supposed to be coming in and claiming the estate, the female. Now, this goes all the way back to the Coronation Charter. And at that time, the king came in, and that's something that we'll speak about in a minute. The king came in and said, I'm going to hold all of these estates for you, just in case your husbands die. And then they killed off all the husbands, of course, and the king has been maintaining the female as chattel since, until now. Now, okay, so here you have a king coming in, and if the female walked away from the church or if she didn't do good or whatever else, he just took her estate. And of course, she's going to remarry. That's her nature. She's an animal biology. And at that point in time, if the king or the church did not agree with her choices, it didn't have to let her marry anybody, blah, blah, blah. And that's what you see by subliminal force, psychological force, and conceptual force applied against females within feminism. They're being taught that they need things that they don't need and all these concepts while the male is being vilified so that he doesn't have the ability to protect her. Now, going back to the king, bankruptcy is actually the state of depravity. Okay, so if you're morally, ethically depraved, whatever else, those are also concepts, by the way, but when you're depraved and you're declared bankrupt, the king is the one that you're bankrupt unto. Okay? So Congress has come in and said that they were the king since 1941. And that king has maintained human hostages, human beings, under depraved states since that time, using the birth certificate and everything else, and all of these consent actions and buying the products, buying into social services, whatever else. Congress has maintained as a king holding human beings under the marshal, under the rules of the exchequer, the chess game. Okay, so under that marshal, the marshal collects and has custody of the king's debtors. And the marshal holds the king's debtors in a place known as hell. And of course, hell is the lower chambers of the exchequer.
Now, could you elaborate somewhat on the origins of the dialogue of the exchequer? I've gotten a lot of questions about that recently, and we know it's a collection of writings, as I understand it so far, accumulated over time.
Right.
So we know this is essentially basically what we call Congress today, that was writing this through history.
No.
No?
No. Okay. This is actually what is written of in the Bible. The Bible is the rule book for the exchequer. The winner of the exchequer, of course, is the king, the chessboard or the chess game. And when the king shifts and it's no longer Congress, when the king is the one that evidences himself as in honor or with honor, the king can then grant and give liberty. Okay? Congress did that as the, quote, king through the rest of the Constitution, the American Constitution. And you can see that as the king, quote, king, is collecting by charging and pledging the human being or the United States at that time to discharge congressional bankruptcy. So here's a pretend king. It never was outside of a depraved state. It started claiming bankruptcy status way back in 1794 is the Treaty of Amity, Commerce, and Navigation, where it's saying they have a bankrupt state. They're going to post human beings to discharge their bankrupt state. They were never with honor. They were never the king. They were only pretending to be the king. And that is the whole of the Bible. Who is God and who is the Lord God?
So they were operating through color all this time.
Right.
Color of law. And as they said back in the Glenhausen Charter, well, you're going to forget about this stuff in a short amount of time anyways because you're dumb sheeple.
Right.
So we're going to put it out there and we're going to make you buy it.
Right. Roll with it. I'll be your house. I'll be your daddy. That was what the Gelnhausen Charter said. That's what the Constitution says. That's what the Declaration of Independence says. It says that human beings are in a pending state and that Congress is free and clear that they're not bankrupt. Although they've declared bankruptcy, the whole thing is a game, and humanity didn't catch up until now. You know, if they would have realized back in 1933 that Congress was the trustee, if they would have realized in 1794, and they were not able to because of the force applied against humanity. Remember what was going on during 1794. Remember what was going on in 1802. All of these times were times when they were promoting and propagating civil war upon us. These are the times when Congress is pointing the finger at the black people and witches. Remember way back in the 1600s, they were burning people in their courts. Lawyers and our attorneys and judges were burning human beings and calling them out as witches as they realized these things and called them out. And we can see this again in Lindbergh. Lindbergh stood up in front of Congress, and what did they do to him? They took his child. They murdered his child after he called out J.P. Morgan, the law firm, as being one of the perpetrators of treason. And here, it's always been a game. It's always been the same game.
Yeah, you can't be a member of Congress and call your own out. It doesn't work out well.
No.
We saw with Trafficant and Lindbergh.
Yeah. And McFadden, Nancy, she was a senator when she called him out. And automatically she lost her Senate seat. She still didn't shut up. That was a warning shot. And after only a couple of years, they killed her, April of 2010. And they didn't hold them accountable, and that's what I've seen in the Bible as well with Jesus. Jesus was pointing them all out, and he's saying, woe unto you, woe unto you. You did this, you did this, you did this. And he didn't hold them accountable. He didn't go around them. He didn't play as the king on the exchequer because Jesus, your earth, did not know who it was. And did not know who you were. You know, you've been taught by indoctrination and education. And, okay, somebody wants to talk about USC 16 tax abatement. No, that's not part of my topic. That's under their U.S. code, of course. We claim the public law only. We walk as to God and everything else. And,
well, maybe we need to clarify a little bit why we do quote some of their important United States code,
because,
and that it applies on their end, right?
Right, only to the fiction. Now, and this is the most important thing that, you know, that question was from Olive. Olive, when you're walking around and you're claiming the first, middle, and last name, you're claiming to be a fiction. If you're claiming to be a citizen, a citizen is a concept. That word citizen is a concept. That says you're a fiction. When you claim to be a resident, res means you're a thing, a fiction. That allows the hypothecation and allows you to be subscribing to their code. If you want to be a fiction, like an attorney or a judge, an agent, a citizen, a resident, all of these things.
Congressman,
legislator, whatever. These are all fictions. Those are all concepts, and if you're claiming to be those concepts, you're under their conceptual laws. And again, you go back to the etymology on law, what does it mean? It means to lay down, literally, to lay down. Now, in the resurrection, what happens? The opposite of laying down. You stand up, resurrect. It doesn't mean Jesus coming back from the dead. Jesus specifically said in Matthew 18, the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. He didn't say, I'm coming later. I'm going to come sometime in the future. Jesus, your earth, says the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost.
Okay, we're back. That's very, very interesting. and very revealing. That is pretty much the bottom line of what we're facing inside the United States. I think it's just a matter of rearranging our priorities properly, because a lot of us, we are filing this, and we're trying to do our straw man. We're trying to do this. We're trying to do that. We're trying to get our trust set up. We're trying to operate in the private. All of that is wonderful. Make no doubt about it. That is absolutely wonderful. But what we need to look at is what is the basics of survival? Food, air, water. Food, air, and water, and clothing, and shelter. So if we look at this thing in the face of reality, along with doing your documentation, along with filing what you think needs to be filed into court to set up my trust and operate on the private and discharge debt and all this stuff, it should be equally important for you to be preparing for whatever comes down to the pipe. And the reason I'm telling you that is because I have listened over and over and over to news events where they said this national was killed, this national here was killed, that national over there was killed. And these are people who have the ability and the power, who just totally operates in the private. But it wasn't enough to save their lives. And so, therefore, I feel that it would get to the point to, no matter who you say you are and no matter what about you having control of a straw man and you're in your proper person, the proper persona, and this, that, and the other, you have to understand that we're dealing with criminals, and we're dealing with a set of criminals who are attempting to pull the rug out from under us as people. They got things in plan where they're just simply depopulating the world's population. And keep in mind, and make no mistake about it, the population bomb is a real threat. It is a real threat to the survival of everybody on the planet. It's real. But who's going to volunteer to die? Nobody. Who left somebody in charge of determining who's going to live and who's going to die? So these are the things that we are faced with. Now, in my opinion, if you plan on living, then I think you should prepare to live. And if you are just thinking in your mind that if I get all my documents in place and all this is straightened out and I got my 9-8 number and the 2805 and the 632 and all this great, I can live happily ever after. I'm sorry to disappoint you. It don't go that way. You have to look at reality in the face of reality. We got Monsanto's. We got you have to look at what they're doing to the farmers. You have to look at growing your own food. You have to look at preparing for survival. You have to look at all these things. And also, you have to understand some critical things that we as people of African descent need to really understand inside this nation. We can rise no higher than our women. We got to make sure that both of us are on the same page. We got to have our women on the same page as we are, and the women got to have the men on the same page that they are. Everybody got to be on the same page. Okay. We don't have the luxury now of wasting time. Those days are over. And it shouldn't be hard for us to understand that after 400 years inside this country, we're still in the same condition that we've been, that something is wrong. So that means we're going to have to start doing something different. It shouldn't be hard to understand that. So we're at the door now. and it's time for us to prepare. Now, if you're doing your documents, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're trying to, and I don't blame someone for trying to be free. I can't blame a prisoner for breaking out of prison. He want to be free. I can't blame him for that. And so, but what I want us to keep in mind that apart from what we're trying to do involving the legal system, that is just one part of what's going on inside the United States. And because we do that and we are successful with that, that doesn't mean that everything else is going to go away. It doesn't mean that. So we're going to have to strike a balance. We're going to have to arrange our priorities properly. If you are working on trying to totally operate in the private side, I suggest you be growing your fruits and vegetables and trees and what have you along with that. I suggest you also, if you're trying to do your 9-8 number, you're trying to set up your trucks and stuff, I suggest to you that you be stockpiling some food, some water, and preparing to accumulate ammunition, preparing to accumulate your batteries, your generators, your storage stuff to feed your family in the event of anything that goes wrong. We got to strike a balance in this thing. We got to stop thinking, well, you know, I got to spend all of this week concentrating on doing this here. Now, it is imperative for us to get out of debt. Make no mistake about it, because anytime there's an economic collapse, the first thing we have is what's called a margin call, a national margin call. Well, people who you are indebted to, that's been giving you an opportunity to pay them at a little bit at a time, these people will turn around and say, well, look, I can no longer afford for you to pay me monthly anymore. I need you to pay this entire debt one time. So we do need to get out of debt now. We need to get rid of that. But before we go any further with that, I'm going to take a look at the women in our lives and how important they are and what we need to know about this.
You are more than what you have been made to believe. But what happened? What happened? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that the nature of the woman is that of a consoler. Look at the word, console. When somebody needs to be consoled, somebody has to speak the right word to your mind, present the right picture, create the right atmosphere to bring about consolation. Is that all woman is here for? No. The Quran says God created the woman that the man may find peace and quiet of mind in her. There is no heaven for a man outside of you. Woman is the real heaven of man. Man is the real heaven of a woman. And when man and woman operate under the will of God, we create heaven on earth. And that's why you say, Our Father which art in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That will never happen until the woman and the man are made right again. For Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is where? Within you. Let's go after it now. Have you noticed, sisters, the type of man that appeals to to you? Well, certainly, being physical, you look for something physically attractive. Probably mistake number one. Child, he sure is fly. Well, all right, that's the beginning. When he is attractive to you, what is it that you feel inside for him? First of all, God created you as a consolation for somebody who is a worker and a producer. Now wait now. You don't have the spirit to console somebody that's doing nothing. Am I right? I don't care how handsome brother may be. After a while, good looks look ugly if the man is not producing. Is that right? Now wait. God created you to help the man do God's will. That's why you are called in the Bible a help meet. No, it ain't say mate. It said meet. Not M-E-A-T. M-E-E-T. Help meet what? God laid on man in his nature the responsibility to do what? God gave man power, dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and every creeping thing that crawls. God told man, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. And he put woman there to help the man to meet what God had put on man to do. Well, if the man ain't doing nothing, then how can you help a man do nothing? So when you meet a man, he's handsome, he's good looking, he's beautiful, he has a good rap, then you ask him, what you doing? I ain't doing nothing. Where you going? I ain't going no place. Well, what do you want to be bothered with somebody who's going nowhere doing nothing? That's not who you are. And that's why most of you are unhappy women. And that's why you get married and divorced so quickly. It's because something is missing in the marriage and you don't quite understand what it is. But it's not the man's fault. Sisters, don't blame him. He's not going to be the man that he could be unless you help him to become the man that he should be. And in order for him to be that kind of man, you got to know who he is, know who you are, and then above all, know how to move him to the goal that God wants him to be at. You got to know how to do that. Otherwise, he will be living in your mouth like a dentist. And sisters, you know you are suffering from great abuse. There's hardly a woman in this audience who hasn't been beaten by some man. Although some of you getting pretty tough. You beating up your husband nowadays. None of that should be necessary. But in this world, sisters, the white male could not stand for the black male to have power and dominion. So the white male broke the black male so that he is powerless without dominion. So now, once your man is broken, you become fair game for the victor. They call it in war the spoils of war, and they call the spoils of war booty. Now, sisters, that is what the black woman has become to the slave master's children. You are the booty or the prize that he has access to since he has conquered and destroyed your man. And then you will sing songs, shake your booty, and you will do dances that suggest that that's who and what you are. In the 1960s, singing groups called themselves the Supremes. Supreme meaning the highest. Today, our women are calling themselves bitches with problems and whores with attitudes. And we have accepted that. That shows you how far down our women have fallen. And if a nation can rise no higher than its woman, and our women are looked at as bitches and whores, and this is accepted in the society, then the nation has gone to hell because they have lowered the woman down. The nature of you is to console a productive man. The nature of you is to speak to his mind that which consoles him in his effort to do God's will. To say that a woman should not be educated is foolishness. Every woman should be knowledgeable. Why? Because a wise woman makes a wise nation. A foolish woman makes a foolish people. To keep women ignorant, looking at soap operas all day long, feeding their mind filth and ignorance, is to keep you in a state where you will never produce children that will be masters and conquerors. You will always be a conquered people because your woman has been made a foolish woman. Y'all all right? The slave masters have put us in a condition that only God can get us out of. And this is why Brother Farrakhan has been touring the country talking to black men. Because in the beginning, God said, let us make man. And unless a good man is made for you, you will feel like you feel now, unloved, unwanted. You have these beautiful children, but no father there to look after your children. You feel unloved, but then are called upon to give love to your children. But how can you give what you don't receive? You have done an excellent job with your children with hardly anything to go on. You have to ask yourself, why did this happen to us? Did God know about this? If so, why did God permit a whole people to be destroyed? Not for a day, not for a year, but for four centuries and for the last 6,000 years, black people have not really had their day in the sun. Why, God? What has happened? Brothers and sisters, sisters, pardon me. Sisters, the woman, according to the Quran, should always be protected. When you have money, you try to put it in a safe place. When you have jewelry, you don't leave your jewels out for the thief to steal. You are more valuable than all the gold that's in the earth. You are a greater treasure than any treasure that can be found in the depth of the sea. But you today are unprotected.
Freeing up capital to make investments may not be as hard as you think. For those of you who have Facebook accounts, send me a friend request over there on Facebook and LinkedIn to Tahaka Amana Elbay. That's T-A-R-A-H-A-K-A. Amana is A-M-A-A-N-A and then E-L and of course B-E-Y. And you'll be able to see the actual documents clearly showing you how I was able to cancel my mortgage and property taxes contracts, and that way I have freed up capital for investments. To get the apparatus to do this with, go to www.newdebtelimination.com. That's www.newdebtelimination.com. It's not as hard as you think. Send a friend request on Facebook and I'll grant that request so you can actually see the documents for yourself. Peace. Okay, everybody, Tahaka Archives Master Library is up and running again. For those of you who have gotten a hold of Tahaka's Archive Master Library, go ahead and either give me a call or forward me your donation ticket back to tahaka53@hotmail.com, and we'll get that thing to you. Also, for those of you who have not accessed this powerful library, go to www.newdebtelimination.com. That's www.newdebtelimination.com. Click on the donation page up top and you'll see a complete listing of the packages and stuff that we offer. And of course, Tahaka Archive Master Library is now officially listed and we're back up and running. Okay? Peace. Hi, I'm Tahaka Amana Elbay. There's some very important things that we need to consider when dealing with police stops. First of all, does failure to wear a seatbelt constitute a breach of the peace? Is it a public nuisance? Is there an injured party? If a policeman stops you, is he an officer of the law? Has he taken a public oath of office? Is he a public official? Criminal impersonation in the first degree is a felony. In order to exercise your freedom of rights successfully, contact me, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now send an email to Tahaka53@hotmail.com.
Okay, we're back. Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll have Ken Sagos with us. And he is a screenwriter. He's performed in several movies, the Freddy Krueger movie, Nightmare on Elm Street, and he came away from that and went into sitcom. But we're going to be dealing with The Secret Weapon. Ken Sagos will be with us Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Moist Talk Live 100. Make sure you're here so you can find out, because there's something that occurred in the 60s during the Civil Rights Movement that has been kept under wraps for a long, long time. And he's going to tell us exactly what happened. And he's attempting to, I have the transcripts to the movie that'll be coming out on that, and he's trying to get this thing produced and this information brought out. And just like the sister said earlier, we have a lot of stories, and it's time for us to start bringing this stuff out so the general public can know exactly what happened. And see what Hollywood does. Hollywood picks what we should know about and what we shouldn't. We got our icons up. You see the pictures in people's house of Martin Luther King, and then you'll see a picture of John F. Kennedy. Then you'll see a picture of Jesus Christ, and you know, as if that's it. Well, that's not it. But this is what this society do. It holds the lid down on all the nuts, bolts, and wiggle pins of what really happened down here in this thing and all this stuff. So we want to get that information out. Make sure that you attend this broadcast Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Ken Sagos. You'll see my advertisement. We're going to be putting it out all over everywhere. So make sure that you be here so that you will know about this side of what happened. Because we heard a lot about what happened. But this is something, in my opinion, I think we really need to know about. And there's a lot of other things that the brother have done and he is currently doing now. And the link that you can see about what he's doing is right there on my wall on Facebook. You can go over there and check the coming presentation out. And you can scroll down in the ad, and you can actually click on the link and go and look at the little videos and stuff that are there to get some insight on what's going to be coming up in the near future. Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be bringing the secret happen, secret weapon. What happened with that secret weapon? What's that all about? And it's involving the suppression of certain incidences and stuff that occurred and behind the scenes and all of this stuff, we're going to bring it out. And it's going to be quite riveting, I can assure you. I have the actual transcripts. I've looked over that and I see this is something that everybody in America needs to know. Not only people that look like me, but everybody, all of us need to see this stuff. So Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Moist Talk Live 100. Make sure you tune in. And if you have questions and comments, the brother's going to be here to answer your questions and comments. And he has products and stuff that you can actually get in memorial of this stuff. And actually what happened, they've created a painting as well. And this painting, in my opinion, says some real good stuff. And there's only a limited edition amount of paintings that they have done. But all of that information will be made available to you. And we'll put the link in the chat room so that you can see this and you can click on this link and go directly there. Okay? That'll be Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Morris Talk Live 100. I have been your host, the Hawker Amano Elbe, and until next time, y'all take it easy.
Hey, I'm a long way from my lady, but I can always feel her presence. I don't care how far I go away. Now, I got a letter today, and it made me feel so good when I read what the letter had to say. I'm going to take the tension off you, baby, because I'm on my way. Honey, I'm on the way. It ain't gonna take long, no, no. Ooh, just one more day. Can you hold yourself together and remember that I'm your girl? And when we make love tonight, we won't be dreaming. Everything.